So David and Cindy were our kids' second mom and dad. I mean, they pretty much lived out there, so we do go way, way back and things. Shoo-wee! Everybody have a good Christmas? Yes. All right. Good, good, good. So those of you that, a couple things that you probably want to make sure you're aware of about me is I like to joke around to a fault. I do a lot of practical jokes, and I like to laugh. I like to see other people laugh. I just like to see joy. And so I want to tell you about two Christmas presents that was given out this year before I start my message. My wife, Jennifer, some of you may know her. She's elementary school teacher out at Stamping Ground. She and I lead a small group, and we have 10 couples. And those couples range, now get this here now, those couples range from a couple that's 20, upper 20s, all the way up to upper 70s. That's where we're at there. And we love that group. I mean, it's the funniest group you'll ever see. We laugh, we enjoy one another. And part of the reason we do it that way, have that age disparity, is because I think we can all learn from everybody. Well, so we decided we'd have a Christmas dinner this year. And so we met at one of the couple's house. And we were deciding on what we were going to do about the Christmas gifts, because they wanted to do a Christmas gift. So half the group said, we want to do the, what do you call it, white elephant gifts. And then half the group, oh, let's do this. So we just said, bring whatever you want. And, you know, here's a dollar amount on it to spend, and bring whatever you want. And so I thought, I didn't buy this gift. You're going to see a picture, not yet, but you're going to see a picture. I thought it was the best gift that anybody could ever get. And I thought I would share it to you. So, because you guys may want something like this next year for Christmas for your better half and things. So one of the couples decided to get this gift. And so when they drew it up, I mean, you could tell by the look of this lady's face how excited she was. Go ahead and show the picture. Oh, not that one, the other one. That one's my next one. Look at that. Isn't she excited? It's a pillow of me. You guys like that? Yeah, and a Michigan hat. I'm a Michigan fan. See, it takes at least two people to spell Ohio. What's that tell you? Okay, so the next one, I told my sister-in-law I would do this. I got this gift yesterday. And as I said, I'm always into practical jokes and everything. But this was a serious joke. I got a t-shirt from my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law, okay? Did I say my sister-in-law? So this is what she thinks of me. Can you read it? Tired of being my wife's arm candy. How about that? Which leads me to my next slide, and then we'll get into the message. When David asked me to preach this morning, I said, sure, when? And he told me the 26th of December. And I was like, ooh, okay. 26th of December is my wedding anniversary. My wife was here first service. 29 years ago, that was us. So 29 years. So we're excited about that and things. So I can't believe she's put up with me that long, but, and that's what everybody else says too. So I'm just going along with it. So, it is great to be back here at Harmony. I got a lot of great memories here of Harmony. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to baptize my youngest son in that baptistry there. That's a great memory I have here. I was thinking about some of the other times I've spent here. Back when COVID first started, the first time you guys canceled service, I was the trial minister to try out the online version of Facebook. I was the first one to do that, and we made it through COVID, I think. And then I was the last minister to preach before you guys hired Kent, and what a wonderful hire that has been for Kent. I hope everything's been well for you. I've heard nothing but good things about it and about the harmony and what's going on here. So about a month ago, I was asked to preach at another church. And it was a church that I used to be a youth minister at over in Cynthiana, Kentucky. And, it had been 25 years since I'd been in that church. And, so I was reminiscing a lot. And one thing I would do when I was over there preaching is, or when I was a youth minister over there is once a month we'd have the kids come into the main worship area. And I'd get up in front of everybody. I'd get up on stage and I'd have all the kids on the steps and I would give them I'd give one of the kids the week before a little brown bag. And in that little brown bag, they were responsible just to bring something inside the bag. And I'm a firm believer that anything you do in life is an object lesson. Everything is an object lesson. And so I would tell them, I would say, okay, bring whatever you want. If you can fit it in the bag, you bring it in here. And what I'll do is I'll get up on stage and I'll pull it out of the bag and won't know what it is. And I'll do an object lesson on that. And so it sort of like stumped the preacher as well. And so I remember a couple of what was in the bag, and one of them was a rock. And if you know the church where I was at over there, there was some gravel out there, so that led me to believe that he just forgot to bring something. He grabbed a rock and put it in there. Well, as far as an object lesson is concerned, that's pretty easy. Jesus is the rock, and we go from there, and we're done. But then another time I was thinking back of something that I had to do an object lesson on was Gumby. Anybody remember Gumby? Look at Gumby up there. How in the world am I going to do an object lesson on Gumby? So I thought about that. And so what I did on Gumby was I talked about how sometimes your faith is stretched, but it always comes back to Jesus. And so that was my object lesson for that. So looking back and doing all of that, I thought I'd go back 25 years today and do an object lesson here with you because, once again, as I said earlier, I believe life is nothing more than an object lesson. If you look throughout the scriptures, the stories in the Bible, there's plenty of object lessons throughout. The parables that Jesus told were nothing more than object lessons. And I think we can learn a lot from what happens day to day in our lives and the things that we're active in. But the only thing I'm going to do different is, before I didn't know what was in the bag, but today I do know what's in the bag. So I brought my golf bag to share with you about an object lesson. So 2021 is coming to a close, and now we're starting to look at 2022, and we're starting to make our New Year's resolution. Anybody already made their New Year's resolution or thought about it? I'm going to challenge you with a New Year's resolution. In 2022, do we have any golfers out here? First service, we had a whole bunch. None here? Well, in 2022, I'm going to make a challenge to all of you non-golfers. 2022, here's your New Year's resolution. To become a better golfer. Now, bear with me on this and stay with me on this because I want 2022, I want to come visit you guys next year and I want you to say, Dean, my golf game is absolutely the best. And I've improved so much in my golf game. You see, here's what I'm talking about. As you look up here on stage, you saw me pull up a golf bag. But really, it's so much more than a golf bag. You see, this thing to my right that we call a golf bag that's full of clubs and full of balls and full of learning devices. That's really the story. It could be said it's the story of all of our lives. Let me help you out a little bit. In the game of golf, in order to play, you got to have a golf course. A golf course represents your life. From the time you tee off on the very first tee to the time you putt it in on number 18, it represents your life. Each hole that you play represents a different stage in your life. You know, you have your early years, your adolescent years, your teen years, your college years, your dating years, your newlywed years, your raising your children years, your parenting years, your middle age years, your senior years. And we can call them whatever we want and we can number them however we want. But the bottom line is those represent stages in each and every one of our lives. If you look at the game of golf, you'll know that each hole may be a different par. You have a par 3, which is short, a par 4, which is average, and a par 5, which is a long hole, which means you need to get the ball in there in 3, 4, or 5 shots. And the golf balls that you hit, they represent the days of your life. They represent the opportunities that you have in your life. And sometimes you'll hit the golf ball and it'll be a really good ball, and that's a good day. And sometimes you'll get up there and you'll hit the ball and it won't go where you want it to go, and maybe that's a bad day. But one thing is for sure, whether it's golf or whether it's life, you've got relationships in your life. Let me ask you a question. Let me stop here for a second and ask you. The ultimate question when it comes to golf is what gets your ball from the tee box to the hole? I mean, do you take your ball and you put it on the tee, and do you just sit there and say, please go in the hole? Because if you do that, nothing's going to happen. Do you put it on the tee and then come back a day later and see if it went anywhere? No. You see, it's the same thing that gets you through life and gets you through each stage of life. And it's relationships that gets that ball in the hole. Listen to me on this. You see, if you want to have a good golf game, you need to understand your golf clubs and when to use which club. In other words, you've got to have a good relationship with your golf clubs. And in life, if you want to have life and life to the fullest, as Jesus explained it, you've got to understand the relationships that you're in and understand the relationships that are around you. So today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about relationships. And each group of clubs in my bag represents different types of relationships that we have throughout our lives. Wise Christian friends will build you up. They'll help you. They'll bring wisdom to you. But yet a bad friend will lead you to sin. They'll encourage ungodly traits and would rather see you fall than do good in life. With that being said, let's look at the clubs. One of the first clubs is the longest club that's in the bag. And it's a club that's called the driver. You can see I've got my driver here. It's fairly new, and sometimes it does me good, and sometimes it does me bad. Let me take a moment and explain the driver. It can be the best club in your bag, and it can be the worst. It can be the biggest problem that you have in the bag. Now, remember something about golf. The easiest way to play golf is you hit the ball, you hit it straight, and you stay on the fairway. You stay on the path. You stay on the correct path. And the driver is the club. This club, because it's so long, is the club that will hit the ball the furthest. But there's one problem with hitting the ball the furthest. Sometimes you hit it the furthest straight, which is a good hit. But yet sometimes you hit the ball the furthest to the left. Sometimes you hit the ball the furthest to the right. You slice it. And you get off the fairway. And you get off the path that was before you. And I want to tell you this morning that some of the relationships we have are the exact same way. Some of the relationships that we're in can be great relationships, and they can take us a long way if we can stay on the path. But sad to say, a lot of times they take us off the path. You see, when thinking about this, one doesn't have to open up the scripture and look too far into the scripture to find a good example of this. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, we find the Bible says the Lord God told the man to man and put the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you do, you'll certainly die. So here we see God is giving Adam and Eve the ball to tee it up. They tee it up, and all they have to do is keep it in the fairway with their driver. But then all of a sudden another relationship comes into their life, comes into play. In chapter 3, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals and the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And when the woman saw the fruit in the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for them. And obviously here at this point in time, Adam and Eve sliced the daylights out of the ball, and they got out of the fairway, and they got into trouble. You see, the driver represents relationships that can go a long way, but also can take you off the path, off the fairway. You see, the driver, I like to say, is like a relationship that puts you at the crossroads with a friend. Which way you go depends upon how you hit it. You know, Jesus put a lot of people at the crossroads when he was walking the earth. Jesus says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He said, come, follow me. And at that point in time, they were at the crossroads. And Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. There comes a point in time in our lives, in longstanding relationships, that you have to make decisions. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The second set of clubs that I'd like to talk about are what we call the low irons. Now, the low irons are not in my bag. And there's a reason they're not in my bag, because I don't want them anywhere near my bag. The low irons are over here. The low irons, they give me trouble. They're not in my bag. They're outside the bag, and I like to consider these fake clubs. Not real clubs. I mean, really, when you go and you go to Dick's and you buy a set of clubs, or wherever you go to buy a set of clubs, most of them will start with a 5-iron and go all the way up through a pitching wedge or a sand wedge. Very few clubs you buy today that it's not special order have a 1, 2, 3, or 4 iron. Why? Because they're hard to hit. Why? Because it's hard to have a good relationship with them, because they keep doing it wrong. They keep hitting it wrong. If you do research, you'll find that it's because most people can't hit them. Similarly, if you haven't figured it out yet, they represent the relationship with people that you can't get along with. They represent bad relationships that you have in your life. I call them fake clubs, and I want to tell you that if you're anything like me, you probably have some people in your life, some relationships in your life that's really fake. You probably have some fake clubs, some fake friends, some fake relationships that, to be perfectly honest, in 2022, you need to get them out of your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrects good character. I like to say bad clubs corrupt good character as well. But anyway, it's the same thing. Sometimes you have to know when friendships with other people is leading you away from the Lord. And in this case, you must choose Christ or that friend. The answer is always going to be Christ. And just like a good parent to remove negative influences on the child's life, God will remove bad influences from our lives and replace them with godly friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, now what I meant was that you should not associate with people who call themselves brothers or sisters in the Christian faith, but they live in sexual sin. They're greedy. They worship false gods. They use abusive language. They get drunk and are dishonest. Don't eat with such people. Get them out of your bag. Get those relationships out of your life. The next set of clubs that I like to talk about are your high irons. Your 5, your 6, your 7, your 8, your 9. Now, we've been a little negative so far talking about our driver, talking about the low irons. Let's be a little positive here. These irons are your friends, literally. You know, when you get up and you hit that driver and it goes far right or far left and you are not on course, you're not in the fairway, you're not in the path, what do? You go to your 5, your 6, your 7, your 8, your 9, depending on where you're at, and you get that club out and you get back on the path. You get back to where you're supposed to be. The great thing about the high irons is that you can hit the ball far with the high irons, or you can hit it short, depending on which club you use. So you need to surround yourself with these type of people. These are the people that you have good relationships with at school, at work, at home, at church, organizations. These are the people that get you back on path. They help get you right with God. I often think of the Apostle Paul when I think of the high irons. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, though I am free, I belong to no one. I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became one like under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I myself am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became the weak, to win the weak. I become all things by all possible means that I might save some, and I do this for the sake of the gospel that I might share its blessings. That is a friend. Those are the relationships you need to surround yourself with. The high irons are the people that when you need a hug, guess what? You're getting a hug. When you need your hand held, guess what? They're holding your hand. When you need a meal, they're the ones that's fixing you a meal. When you need help, they're there helping you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one because together they have a good reward for their hard work. If one falls down, the other can help his friend up. But how tragic it is for one who falls down alone. When he falls, there's no one there to help him up. Excuse me. The next club is one that I often use too much of, and it's just because I'm a bad golfer. And that's called the hybrid or the rescue club. I like it being called the rescue club. The rescue club is when you drive the ball and you're in the woods. It's also called a utility club. This is a club you use when you're in trouble. When you're on the edge of a bunker in the middle of the woods, you grab this club. When you're in a bad spot, you pull it out and you swing as hard as you can swing. This is a relationship that you call upon when your life is falling apart. You pick up the phone and you make a phone call. No matter what time of day it is, no matter what time of night it is, no matter what day of the week it is, you know that if you pick up the phone and you call this person, they're going to answer the phone. This is a relationship that you may talk to somebody only once or twice a year, but you know that when you guys talk, it is like you just spoke yesterday. This is a relationship that come hell or high water, you're going to be there for each other. I'll give you a good example of this. Some of you might know my good friend. Personal example is I've got a buddy of mine that I went to college with. I went to college with him. His name is Keith Moore. And he lives in Cynthiana, but he works over here at Georgetown. Some of you may know him. But Keith and I go back way back. Like I said, we went to college together. Keith was one of my best friends in college. And I know this, that if Keith is in trouble, he knows who to call. He can pick up the phone and call me. And he's done that. And I know that if I'm in trouble, that I got one person I know for sure. I can pick up the phone and I can call. And if I pick up the phone, if I call him, he's going to answer the phone. Why? Because he's my rescue club. He's there to help me. I remember Keith, a few years ago, his dad got diagnosed with cancer. and he called me. And his dad, Kenny, was in the hospital. And I spent a lot of time at Keith's house, you know, when we were in college, and I was youth minister over there as well. And he called, and you can imagine what it was like being on the other end of the phone, what it was like for him, calling me, telling me his dad was dying of cancer and the hurt that he was going through. I hadn't talked to Keith in probably a year and a half, 2 years before this. But he and I both know that when times are tough, we both have somebody we can call on, and that's each other. Proverbs chapter 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need. The next club I have is the wedge. Some people have three or four different wedges. Wedges are clubs that put you in the right spot. You use a wedge when you're a short distance away from the green. The purpose of the wedge is to get you on the green as close to the hole as possible. These clubs represent people and relationships in your life that can be direct with you. These are your moms and your dads that are giving you direction and advice. These are your youth sponsors, your teachers, your coaches, and your leaders, your ministers that are trying to get you to the finish line, that can be up front and be honest with you. The wedges are doing nothing more than setting you up to hit your final shot with your putter. There are many people in the Bible that we could look at who was direct to get us to a specific point. We could look at the Old Testament and see that Moses was direct with the Israelites and leading them out of bondage. Noah was direct with the people of his time, telling them to turn from their wicked ways. We could look at the New Testament, and what better one to look at than John the Baptist when he tells the people to prepare to repent and to turn from their wicked ways and to focus on Jesus, who was coming. Which leads me to my final club. There's a club that you're going to use 99.9999% of the holes that you play on. And if by chance you play a hole and you don't use it, it's not because you're good. It's because you're lucky. I live on a golf course. Hole number one is a par five. When I play that hole, I use my driver, my hybrid, my wedge, and my putter. Hole number two is a par three. I use my 7-iron and my putter. Hole number four is a par four. I use my driver, my 8-iron, maybe my wedge, and my putter. So I'm using my putter on every hole. And if that's the case, if my putter is the club I'm using on every hole, then don't you think I got to have a good relationship with this putter? Don't you think I better feel good about using this club? If there's a club in the bag that can make you or break you, it's this club. It's the putter. There's a golf saying that's out there: you drive for show, but you putt for dough. Yeah, driving the ball far will make you look good, but putting the ball in the hole with your putter makes you good. Any professional or avid golfer will tell you that if you're starting, one of the first things you want to do when taking up the game, or if you want to improve your game, is you need to learn to putt. Think about this. Sometimes people get the ball on the green in two, three, four shots. And then once it's on the green up there, they putt the ball 3-4 times. That's 18 strokes. If you took one stroke off your putt, if you got one stroke better with your putter, you've improved your game by 18 strokes. You've pretty much gone from a 100 golfer to an 80 golfer just by taking off one stroke per hole with your putter. It's the club that's used the most. And it's in every bag. I play golf with many people. And the funny thing is, you can look at their golf bag. They may not have a driver. They may not have the low irons. But one thing is for sure, every golfer has a putter. Because it's the club that finishes you up. It's the club that'll make you look good. It's the club that'll make the game fun or make the game miserable. The club that can save your golf game, the club that can save a hole when you're playing is your putter. Now, if you remember, this bag represents your life. These clubs represent the relationships in your life. And I want to come before you today and say, yes, your putter's the most important club there because your putter represents your relationship with Jesus. You see, Jesus is with you every stage of your life. Jesus is there when you're struggling. Jesus can save you no matter what stage of life you're in. You may be a stage in your life where you're questioning your marriage, and I want to tell you, Jesus can save that marriage. You may be in a stage in your life where health, you're having trouble with your health. I want to say the great physician can heal you. You may be in a stage in your life where you're an empty nester. And I want to tell you that nest can be full. You may be a stage in your life where you just started having children and you don't know what to do and you're looking for directions. I want to say, Jesus will give those to you. I promise you. No matter what stage of life you're in, you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. But Jesus will get you through them. Jesus can save your life just like the putter can save your golf game. Back in October, Jennifer and I went to Myrtle Beach. And she had told me earlier, I hadn't played golf in 20 years. And this July, I started playing again. But the reason I started playing, I quit playing, was because I had kids and they were very active. And I played for the first time in years in July with my oldest, and my kids are older now. And we were coming home from vacation, and Jen said, what do you think about me taking golf lessons? I said, man, that's awesome. Because you know what that means. If she plays golf, guess who can start playing golf again? Bingo. So we started playing, and in October we decided we were going to go back down to Myrtle Beach, and I said, you know, I'm going to get you a golf lessons. We're going to do golf lessons. So we scheduled 2 days of golf lessons. And so we go there, and the guy that was the pro that was giving us golf lessons, he says, Dean, what do you want to learn from, what do you want out of this, learning this? I said, look, first off, you need to focus on her because she really, and I wasn't being mean. I was just saying I want her to learn to play to have fun. I said, but if you're talking about me, I feel good with my irons. I said, but I can't drive the ball lick. I mean, I'm awful driving. I mean, I cannot drive. If I hit it straight, it's not far. If I hit it far, it's there, not there. And so he said, well, get up there and let's see you hit the ball. So I get up there and I hit it. And sure enough, when I hit it, way to the right. And hit another one way to the right. I mean, it was awful. I was embarrassed. And so then we go back into the into his office there, and he videotaped it. And he said, I think I know what your problem is. And I said, good. We're one step ahead. I'm ready. I'm listening. I'm all ears. I want to get better. And he said, you got a chicken wing. A what? A chicken wing. I've heard about a chicken wing. A chicken wing is when you hit the ball and you come back and you pull it in and you hit like this. And, you know, it makes a chicken wing. And I thought, man, I don't have no chicken wing. No way I got chicken wing. I hit the ball. My arms are good. Where they're supposed to be. He says, no, Dean, you've got a chicken wing. I promise you. He said, let's watch this video. And he pulls up a video, and guess what? I got chicken wing. I didn't want to admit it, but I had one. And you know, in life, sometimes you do things that you think you're doing it right. Sometimes you think, gosh, this is, I'm doing this right. It's everything. It's something else's, somebody else's fault. It's something else's wrong. It's not me. But truthfully, you've been doing it wrong all this time. Sometimes you have to have somebody look you in the eye and tell you, yeah, it might seem right, but it's wrong. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says, you can trust what a friend says, even when it hurts. But your enemy wants to hurt you, even when they act nice. I want to challenge each of you this year, 2022. Work on your golf game. And what I mean by that, work on your relationships. You've got some relationships that can take you a long way. Work on those. Work on the positive ones. You've got some relationships that you need to get out of your bag, out of your life. Move on. The Bible says, wipe the dust off. Move on. You've got some relationships that you need to build upon. Your teachers, your coworkers that are like-minded, that can get you back on path. Listen to people that can be direct with you. And most important, work on your putting. Because that putter will get you through life. And it'll make your life a lot better. I saw this quote and it made me think when I was working on this message and how appropriate it is. The quote says, you're allowed to have 14 clubs in your bag. 14 clubs is allowed in there. But you don't need a certain number of clubs. You need a certain number of clubs that you can be certain of. Translate that into what we're talking about today. Friends, you don't need a certain number of friends. You just need a number of friends that you can be certain of. And the one you can be very certain of is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our relationships that we have with our family and our friends. And Father, it's our prayer that today that we start working on those relationships that need to be built upon. And those relationships that we should not be in our lives, we pray, Lord, that you put them in front of us and you give us guidance on how to get them out of our lives. Get them out of our bag. And Father, I pray that this year that we all work on our golf game, that we all work on our relationships. And Father, most of all, we work on our putting. And Father, I pray today that if there's one here that's struggling in a stage of life and they don't know where to turn, that they turn to you. Help us, Lord. Help us to be there for one another. And help us to reach out to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.